You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
As I always say, and we're off to the races. Let the proverbial good times roll. I don't know how to put it. I'm actually rather nervous because he is my, after all, my pride and joy. He is my biggest accomplishment to date. And I think that'll hardly ever change, not by a centimeter. I'm referring to a man, young man, who's on an upward trend. He's been doing quite a bit of amazing things, lots of accolades, for which I am completely, you know, floored and taken aback. You know that firsthand. He's made us more prouder than any parent could. It's a dream that any parent could ever wish to come to fruition, to have a son like the gentleman I'm about to present to you guys. I decided I would have him on because we couldn't do that. It was conflicting, with the agendas and stuff. He couldn't clear his calendar for his dad, believe it or not, and for Christmas. But he's here now, and that is awesome because this is, after all, Christmas Eve, and I just want to tell you that I am beyond grateful. I thank God Almighty to have you here. There isn't enough I could say. There are no words that can possibly describe how I feel about you. Ladies and gentlemen, my one and only son, James Matthew.
What an entrance. Wow, what an introduction.
Hold on. Hello? Can you say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Much better.
Okay. All right.
Great. Sorry. You were on mute and it's all my fault because that's how nervous I am.
I thought the intro was going to last a long time. I was prepared not to have
I haven't
talk,
even but... started yet.
No, but I mean, I appreciate those words. Mm-hmm. I predicate myself on trying to really work hard and prove that, you know, I am that son that you described right now. So yeah, let's get right into everything. Let's start talking about everything.
Well, let's talk shop. I mean, you have been, let's start from the top. I mean, let's start. Why don't we, you know, describe the time when you were in high school, because you also too run a podcast, but you, and it's in hiatus. I understand that.
Right. Right.
However, you were one of the first kids, if I'm not mistaken, to have a podcast at your high school.
Yeah, I mean, I did do that for a while. I mean, obviously during COVID, it was a tough time. I think that, you know, first was the podcast, and then second was obviously, you know, my love for combat sports, which I'm sure we're going to talk about more later. But it was a really important time for me because it was a moment in which I had to really decide for myself what type of lifestyle that I needed to put forth, you know, for myself.
Sure.
Especially during a time when we weren't really able to get out of the house a lot. And really a pivotal moment in history. So I decided to really capture that moment, and I wanted to, just have conversations with people my age and kind of get the youth out there and understand different perspectives. And I think I took a lot after you. Obviously, you've had so many shows, so many things you've done.
Thank you.
So I think it kind of just rubbed off on me naturally, and I just wanted to get an idea of what this all is about, and kind of getting used to listening to my voice and kind of being like, oh man, you know, having those growing pains of like having to listen to myself and, you know, have the notes ready for people and all that stuff. It was a fun time. I think now, you know, it's a little bit easier because now it's more focused, you know, the show that I'm doing now, that, you know, I hope to bring back at some point, but I think that it's more focused on something that I like. And it's a little bit easier for me to really have talking points every week rather than having to always, you know, do so many notes for different people. But what was magical about it is that it captured a moment in time. And I honestly think that the guests that I had on the show most likely will end up being some very important people yeah. one day.
No, absolutely. And we're all about that, fostering that kind of, you know, education, if you will, and being able to showcase our future talents, you know, of all sorts. And you mentioned sports, obviously that's big on with you, and yeah. and you tend to have a tailor-made specific niche, if you will, right?
The combat sports, yeah,
combative sports and MMA and whatnot, yeah. and your love for boxing, which is fantastic.
Yes.
I laugh because, and I'll tell you why. I didn't mean to.
Tell me why you laugh.
I couldn't help but laugh because years ago,
yeah.
if it's okay to talk about, because I told you we peel at some layers and talk about stuff that might sound trivial, okay. if you will, but yeah. but it's funny nevertheless. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so hear me out. There one time, isn't it so that you had this band, this rock band or punk band or something in your high
yeah.
school?
Yeah, yeah.
And on this rather new app, we won't mention the app at the time. Okay, and it was supposed to have them all on, but somehow, you know, as such is the case yeah. with technology, is not a, you know, it's obviously not
a smooth road. It's
perfect really science yeah. here. At times you can, you know, you can have those mishaps and right. wrinkles in the plans and whatnot.
Yeah.
So definitely. Can you shed light on it? Like, did you shoot the whole thing? And then, yeah. And then at some point you realize that the recording wasn't going to happen, or at what point do you realize, yeah. holy shit, it's not recording.
So during that time, I think that a lot of people were thinking that the future of social media was going to just be conversational social, mm-hmm. you know, social media. So there was Green Room that was started by Spotify. I don't really know where that ended up, to be honest with you uh-huh. now. And I think there was another one. It was like invite only based. I forgot what it was called. Something House or something. I'm not sure. But it was very strange because it gave voice to, you know, like when you look at an Instagram reel and you mm-hmm. start looking at the bottom, you start seeing all the comments. It pretty much took those voices and it gave them an actual voice.
Oh, so, wow.
There was a lot of trolling going on.
The underdogs.
On. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of trolling and stuff. And honestly, it's really difficult to get somewhere when you have people, you know, making fart noises and just like, just really just going crazy, you know, yeah, just because, having a good time.
Because at the end of the day, they have fictional names, right?
Yeah, you don't necessarily names. And it's really just like a huge prank call at that point. But I wow. mean, you know, our episode did decently well in the sense that we actually had people join and have uh-huh. decent conversations and kind of add to what we were talking about and all that. But our biggest problem was that, you know, when it ended, for some reason, it didn't record everything. Like it was just a full session, but it didn't record what had happened, I guess.
And it wasn't an exact science.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was a new platform, obviously. And there was just
trial and error,
technical yeah. issues. But it was, the funny thing about it really is that it was the best interview that I had ever done.
Right.
And unfortunately, right. it's an interview that I never got to publish. Uh-huh. But they're a great group of people and a great group of guys. And, you know, they had an amazing, interesting sound, especially for, you know, that young age. They were sure. 16, 15 years old, having influences from, you know, Tool and Korn and all these different bands, and Nine Inch Nails especially.
Like an agglomeration of
yeah.
of different.
Just a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Man, we got the same word, but that's how
it must be related.
It must be related. I know.
great minds think alike.
Yeah.
And it didn't get recorded, unfortunately, no. guys, because I was, because you know my why? Best, I was about to play it now.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That would have been amazing. No, my best show that I ever recorded, unfortunately, never aired or any. I mean, it aired, but it just didn't get recorded. So. It was really unfortunate, but you know, we had a few people, you know, hop by and have conversations with us and stuff, so that was really cool. But there's definitely other ways to, you know, have better conversations online than
let me tell you a funny story. You know the story about the podcast that I had started with Seth, right? Okay. Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver, which is still out there.
That's a wild
it's wild. If you haven't already tapped into that,
it is
really my intense. Buddy and I, my buddy is a producer in that, but funny enough, I was doing that yeah. show out of the closet.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Because yeah. In the house there's a lot going on, right. a lot of moving parts, a lot of different people doing different stuff yeah. in the house, meaning the cleaning lady would come in.
Oh my God.
All manner of craziness, right? And I'm batshit crazy. So yeah. I thought of, let's just go in the closet.
Wow.
And then I figured, you know, what I'll do is I'll get like, you know, soundproof equipment and things that I could put in there. So I got my to wrap around the enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I got lots of like duvets and you know, covers and so I could block off the sound.
You made like a little recording.
A little cocoon.
Little cocoon. Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
I cocooned my little recording studio, a makeshift one of sorts. But the craziest part was the sound would go in and out, and it sounded muffled.
Oh no.
So I had this one actress whose name I will not put out there because she's kind of pretty famous still today.
Yeah.
And she's like, dude, it sounds like somebody's choking you. Are you okay?
Sounds like a hostage or something.
You're like a hostage situation.
That's terrible. Oh my gosh.
And
that's
so just recently I had a conversation with you know one of my buddies.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that how during the, you know, like a lot of creativity as well, a lot of great things came out of the, you know,
that era or
that period of time and the unfortunate COVID era,
of course,
you know, but being in hibernation, as I like to call it, I was stuck in there for a long time. I figured, all right, I'm going to write songs, which I did, and I, you know, cranked out some jams. And then I got into the closet, you know, and then I never came out of the closet. No. Thankfully, right?
Podcast in a closet.
I know, podcast in the closet. Well, because it started outside, and then it worked its way in there because of all the sounds that were coming out from out there. So anyway, I'm playing around with this situation. I was used to doing radio shows at the studios, no different than this wonderful studio here at LA Talk Radio. Is a whole different – what was that again?
That was a nice plug.
I know. You like that. I tend to do that quite a lot. And feel free if you have things happening and you may make sure. You know, you never – this gentleman here will never – ever.
I'm never going to stray away from making a plug or something.
Right,
of course.
He's definitely always going to
come at some point.
Yeah, at some point. You just feel free to interject and just blast it out there, blitz, you know, out there to the world. So anyway, in a nutshell, I thought that was funny because we had like similar circumstances in that, you know, people didn't know. And they kept thinking that they were on this podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Episode. This is weird shit that happens.
Yeah, it's the weirdest process, you know.
It's a BTS almost,
behind the scenes. Sometimes you really screw up or, you know, your sound quality is not great. Yeah, I had a guy that, you know, that went on and he was like, dude, your sound quality is terrible, man. Like, I don't feel comfortable having my voice come out like this and all this stuff. And I was like, man, you know, having to deal with that and trying to edit it so it could come out the best, you know, way possible. It's the toughest thing, but yeah.
Yeah, blame it on the equipment, right?
You know, yeah, that's the best way to go. You always got to find the scapegoat somehow.
That's right. Yeah, we can only surmise why the equipment and the quality of the, you know, the stuff doesn't come out quite tweaked the way you want it to.
Of course.
But it's great because it's an ever-evolving thing. Like, it's almost like we reinvented the wheel. You know that chances are, in fact, I will put it out there. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? That I'm not only, you know, obviously, as you know, I've been doing this for a minute now, but I think that podcasts, the age of the news, you know, outlets and conglomerates like Fox and CNN and all these, it's dying, surely dying. Yeah. And the voices that are coming out are like the ones that are sprouting out these podcasts that are in the closet that are done by these new apps, you know.
Yeah.
And green rooms of sorts and that sort of thing, which it was short lived, by the way. It
was short lived. Yeah. I mean, you know,
I think Elon, there was one guy that said I was on the freaking green room with Elon and I managed to
have conversations with him and everything. Yeah. Of course. I mean,
he eked out a minute for like a 10 second, what do you call it?
Interval
to put out his information, and he was able to kind of have one exchange or, you know, like a question or something. And he thought, wow, my God, I mean, that's pretty nuts.
That was the cool part about it is that a lot of professionals and like, you know, big names got on these apps and had these wonderful conversations with people and stuff like that. I mean, there was a lot of trolls, to be honest, too. Like, there was a ton of trolls. And it was so like at first the app, you know, a lot like Zoom, you know, when we, you know, all got on Zoom during COVID, people would just come into the Zoom meetings and they just start making these noises or they start like, you know, just messing around, you know, and it really ruined the whole aspect of it. But, you know, as you were able to mute people and stuff, it really was a nice culture that was fostered through that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely 150% right, James, Matt. Having you here, it's pretty neat.
It's a little surreal, isn't it?
And it's surreal because, I mean, we talk a lot, and obviously when we have our private conversations, you know, it's different.
We've had hours of conversations.
I don't think it ever stops.
No, it never stops. And, you know, it's finally good to get this on camera, you know, and really
have a chip off the old block.
Have the people get to listen to us and our conversations and stuff. But
maybe you could be my co-host.
Who knows? I mean, you never know
the future of
in my busy schedule.
Almost Famous.
You know,
let's talk about your busy schedule.
Okay.
What's this I hear now? You're working or you got some kind of gig with the Rams? LA Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's surreal.
Oh, of course.
Let me pinch myself.
It's been a long process because obviously it started with the work that I've been doing, you know, with my own stuff, the combat sports guy stuff.
Yeah.
It allowed me to kind of create a niche.
Just plugged in combat sports guy.
You knew that it was coming. It had
podcast,
to come at some
guys,
point.
Watch it.
But really it started with that and kind of fostering a niche for myself and something that, you know, a trajectory that I want to build, obviously, because it's important just to get involved with things, especially right now. I'm at the age where I'm really going after experiences. You know, I have the time, I have the youth, and I'm going after experiences, you know, and I want to experience life, and I want to experience these cool opportunities. And I thought this was a great opportunity that, you know, they got on my desk, you know, and
it just
and,
came on you.
Yeah. And
your lap fell from the sky.
Well, a lot of work, a lot of due diligence that I go into it, you know, applications and being at the school I'm at, it gave me the opportunity to be a part of this, but for sure that it's helped enhance the niche that I've created for myself. And hopefully it all ties in one day. And, you know, obviously end goals being really getting into the combat sports industry, you know, in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. Is the really the end goal, and I could talk more about why that's so important to me. But
why is it important for you?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about combat sports is that it's they call it the everyman sport for a reason. You know,
elaborate, please.
When two competitors get into a ring, it's an analogy for life. Really, is what it is. You know, it's the story of combat. The story of combat. It's been told across generations. It's been told since the beginning of mankind, you know, from the first cavemen that drew pictures on the walls. It's, you know, combative situations have always been a part of human life. But what I believe is that the ring is the everyman sport. And what I love about it is that it's the ultimate equalizer. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where two individuals, you know, they put their legacies on the line and they showcase to the world why their heritage, why their last name, and why their own legacy, their own prophecies are the most important. You know, it's the only sport in this world that captures the struggle that people go through in life every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, coming from a mixed background and coming from a family that I do, I come from a very hardworking family. I come from a family that, you know, we've just worked hard. And what I love about this sport is that it showcases a lot of individuals that work very hard and that went through a struggle and that went through adversity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in life, that's really the story of life. The story of life is being met with adversities, mm-hmm. and fighting those adversities. And I think that the ring is the perfect analogy in which it doesn't matter if you're skinny. It doesn't matter if you're tall. It doesn't matter if you're fat. It doesn't matter
if you're malnutrition like your dad.
You know, it doesn't matter, you know, the shortcomings that you have, as long as you on that night can prove that you are the best, and that you could best another individual, it's the best thing in the world. It showcases the fight of life. That's all we have in this life. All we have in this life is fighting adversities and showcasing our abilities.
Wow. Truth be told, you're quite amazing. Calm down, Orson Welles.
No,
I like the way you articulated that. Honest to God, it's just very cool because you put things into perspective. Man versus man in the ring. It's like back to the primitive days when
it's not
fought
even just
over meat.
You fought over
a girl.
The allegory of it is, you know, and the analogy of it is, it could be anything. It could be a fight between man versus society. It could be a fight
good versus evil.
It could be good versus evil. It could be, you know, there's always gray areas in everything. But what I love about it is it's a beautiful sport. When you look at the technique behind it, you find that sometimes your shortcomings could actually be an advantage to yourself. Sometimes maybe when you're a little smaller, you have a better center of gravity. You can find the angles. I love that aspect of the sport. I believe that if you, you know, if you take those techniques, if you take that mindset of the sport and you put it into life, you apply it into life, you really find that no matter what shortcomings you have, have the mindset, have the drive, have that fire in you.
Grit, determination.
Have the grit, have the determination, and showcase your legacy. Showcase why you're here.
That's so the why is the most important thing in life, right? You got to find out your why you're here. What's your purpose?
I think purpose is a huge factor because, you know, I think that in every single one of us, we have a book.
Right.
We have a prophecy.
Yes.
And it's our jobs for our prophecy to be told in the timeline of human history.
Yeah.
That's our jobs. But the thing is, though, is that the decisions you make in your own life, the decisions we make in our lives is either going to bring us closer to that prophecy or it's going to bring us farther away.
Or maybe you're going to self-prophecy something that you said before that was going to happen to you if you didn't get your shit straight, right?
Well, that's the danger of life. But I think that we've all been put here for a purpose, and that's the big thing. The big thing is finding the calling and really writing your prophecy and making sure that you meet where you're supposed to be at.
Wow. I'm blown away. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't know you have all this in you. Did you come to Vance and let us know all the wonderful ideas you have percolating in your head?
I've come to deliver, you know?
The mailman.
No, hey, you know, I have a dad like you. You know, we like to talk. We love to inspire.
We do like to inspire and exchange ideas. Of course. Hence why we're here today. I love having those hard conversations like we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, recently, you know, that passing of my mom, your grandma, that meant the world to you because she helped raise you.
Yeah.
And she inculcated all these wonderful traits into you, determination, education. She was very well educated. She loved
a lot of things.
Business and everything else. And
she was a very smart woman.
Very highly smart. And she loved you, which is, she had so much love to give and offer wisdom is the big, you know, ask God for wisdom every day. And I think mom left an imprinted legacy in the life of many, but most importantly in your life.
Yeah.
And I want to know, without going really delving deep down that rabbit hole, because obviously right now it's still a
fresh wound.
So,
of course,
what do you think is one thing that she really taught you that you think about most that's helped you in your life?
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say that the individual we're talking about now, speaking on legacy and speaking on this subject, you know, when this occurred and, you know, all these things happened or whatever, it really brought me to a place where I really learned that purpose, and not only purpose, but the people before me and just the amount of work it took to get me to where I'm at is very important. And it's a huge part of, you know, of what makes me. And with identifying that, I learned, like, I have to live a life of purpose. I have to live a life where I can, you know, affect others in a positive way. And I think that was one of the things that, you know, she definitely taught me. But, you know, now there's been definitely huge shifts and in our lives and everything. But when I look at the pictures and everything, you know, the family, and when I see these faces of the people, the Mesa family, you know, all these strong individuals, I see legacy. I see heritage. And I think that it's important for me to live a life of purpose because I want to showcase why my heritage, why my people, my family, my, you know, my past ancestors, why they're important. You know, it's my job to live that life and do so. And she really reminded me of that. But I think the big valuable thing that she definitely reminded me of is the importance of hard work and the importance of knowing where you want to go and executing. You know, I think that she was big on being logical, on executing. And again, it doesn't matter the shortcomings of your life and the adversities and the stigmas people put on you, the labels people put on people. Fight through those.
Yeah.
And
live the nail. Don't let yourself
live the life that you were chosen to live.
Quality life.
Quality life. Exactly.
Don't ever, you know, settle for second best.
No, never settle for second best and work hard. And
you're enough. We're all enough. We all have what it takes in life to counterpunch anything that might come, any adversity we might go through, trials and tribulations that we might have to undergo. We can pierce through them. We can get to the other side if we don't lose sight of the ball. Remember, I used to always tell you, never lose sight of the ball. Yeah, always keep your eyes on the ball. In life, you got to keep your eyes on the ball. When you're playing, the most important thing is the ball for a player.
Right.
And to keep your eyes on that ball that somebody else doesn't get that ball. In the same like manner, when you have a certain goal, for example, the new year, we'll talk a little bit about that. Year. We have new goals in life. Write down your goals. Look at your goals every day, because our minds, you know, so many ideas come through us. They course ideas. Through us and race through us at 100 miles an hour, you know, like lightning speed. And what you want to do is zero in on a couple of ideas that are worth a while, and then research them and search them out, and then put them out there. You know, it's very important to put them out there,
of course,
you know, and then the universe, and ask God to help you execute those ideas, but never stop with lots of determination. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I believe that that's the most important thing.
Yeah, she was just a sharp, hard-nosed,
strong,
full
person.
Of wisdom and very strong person. And that's those attributes. I mean, it's speaking through me right now at this moment. You know, like when you ask me, mm-hmm. and I've had these crazy conversations. You know, I love to joke around. I love to have a good time. But then there's also moments where I'm just like, man, why am I having these serious conversations? Why are we bringing it down to that level? But I, you know, I look at the individuals, and a big one is my grandmother. My grandmother never spoke shallowly about anything.
No.
Everything was fully in depth.
Profound.
Because she wanted to give purpose and respect your time.
Yeah.
You know, don't disrespect people's time. Don't be shallow about. I mean, you know, there's always a time and place to be flashy. Of course, I'm a little flashy too.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in LA. Of course, I'm a little flashy, but it's always important to put first being.
You're born in Alhambra, actually.
Born and raised Sunset Boulevard. Born and raised Kaiser. Sunset Boulevard, Kaiser.
You weren't raised at Kaiser.
Well,
you're born at Kaiser.
Well, born at Kaiser, raised in a lot of different spots. We don't have to go into all the different spots I was raised in, but all over LA. All over LA. I know, I don't discriminate. I was born all over the city. I love this city.
Yeah, he's an Angelino. Truth be told. So let's get into something more lighthearted. I wanna ask you, do you remember? I just realized.
Okay.
Do you remember when you're growing up in school and you're like maybe 6-7 years old? And I got a letter back then or whatever. You know, I think it was an email or some letter. Here's a letter sent home.
Oh no!
With you,
is this a good or bad?
It's not going to be embarrassing. I promise you, by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
It only has to do with politics. You have to put politics.
We had a lot of letters go home of, you know. Like,
okay, so many years ago, I guess we were having a conversation, a friend of mine, about politics, and we were discussing old political figures.
Old school politics.
So I have a friend that are political pundits, and we got into this whole conversation about Richard Nixon.
Okay.
And you went to school and you heard a conversation about Tricky Dicky.
Yeah.
And you told your teacher, it's because Tricky Dicky did it, and you did the peace sign or something. And she says, who's Tricky Dicky? You know, and then we get a message, something about a Tricky Dicky. Is he watching? And it was, to me, it floored me.
Right.
Because I had no clue that there was people actually didn't know who Tricky Dicky was.
No, people didn't know.
Or what that meant, even.
Yeah.
And it's okay, because some people hate politics. I understand politics.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was funny that, you know, this is your teacher telling me, are you watching inappropriate stuff?
Because
she says Tricky Dicky, and I'm like, no, that meant President Richard Nixon. She says, oh my God. That explains a lot of things, because he's having an open dialogue, like a forum with some students outside. That's when you were really little.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's crazy. Elementary school teachers, they listen in on everything. They're like, they need to be hired by the CIA or something. With their ability to listen to these conversations. But
it's had a bug on you.
A lot of them did. Like, I hear these things like years after, you know, you guys are talking to me, you guys are like, oh yeah, so-and-so, like they keep track of you, you know? And it's amazing. I guess it's important because you socialize with kids. They need to make sure you're good and all that. But
at least you were having those conversations that I think a lot of kids are having now.
I mean, it was lighthearted.
But this is before the age of, like, I think it's before iPads. I mean, iPads
were barely coming in.
Right. Yet. So it was like an elusive to have one. It was like kind of a like pipe dream. Like you couldn't just buy one because they were so expensive. So they're not affordable to the average Joe.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have one. And I think nowadays with the age of kids having even smartphones, it's, oh yeah, they removed them from the school system.
Right? Yeah.
No more. You're lucky. Hey. You got off. Yeah,
just listening to music, you know. Right.
I know.
Not paying attention to the teachers. It's just the way it goes.
Right. But but what do you call it? Hey, I'm wondering, how are you doing in school?
Oh man, how are you really doing in school? I thought you were gonna get into something. Oh man, you're gonna press me about
the cell phone issue.
Right.
I'm saying it's like, so people are getting bombarded. Not by daily
knowledge,
but every second, every nanosecond is a new soundbite being sent out, like new information. Yeah. It's flickering in people's heads.
Yeah.
And you're just, so the way you're scrolling, the kids are scrolling.
Yeah.
So kids are having these open conversations,
open
dialogues about the state of our economy, the state of our country, you know?
That's true.
And so in a sense, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, what do you think about that? Is it good, bad, kind of in the middle? Because kids don't get to be kids anymore.
I know what you're saying, that like the conversations that I was having with these kids is a little bit more mature, and it was like, you know, all that stuff. But it was like it was lighthearted, but it was making jokes and stuff that called back to stuff that, you know, obviously, like, what's a third grader doing knowing about, you know, political figures and these nicknames they had for these guys. But really,
the Watergate scandal.
I talk about that too. Yeah, and all these different things. You know, it's part of history, and
history.
You know, it's wild for these teachers because they're like, man, how does this kid, you know about this stuff or whatever? And you know, little they know, I had a dad that had these Richard Nixon books at home, and you know, not only that, but you know, Jimmy Carter and all these.
I love Jimmy Carter, which we should honor Jimmy Carter,
of course.
Jimmy Carter passed away, you guys, a couple of days ago, and he was 100 years of age, the oldest living president. Forget him being a president. It's what he did post his presidency. He went on to build homes.
Good human being overall. Just you know, very accomplished. And I think that he would be interested in what, you know, we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the you know, what you had asked me, which is the aspect of what I think about younger people being involved in these forums and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, obviously
they're not living their age. Living their time.
And I think Jimmy Carter was a person that had a lot of interest in progressing the human race forward and also helping
the poor,
everybody,
breaking down the barriers. Yeah, right.
And I think individuals like that would be astonished, but they'd also be very interested in the fact that these younger kids are getting involved in such you know, important conversations.
Let's talk about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter post his presidency.
Yeah.
He went to find I don't know if he found the whole, or he created a Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
If he single-handedly did that, I'm sure it was a group of people, but
right.
him and his wife, you know, the Rosalind would build homes for the poor.
Yeah.
How fascinating. Like, I don't think anyone in the history of our president, of our only what? Gonna be 47 presidents. Yeah. Only 47. Holy shit, that's crazy. Yeah. I thought it doesn't seem like a lot of presidents.
Doesn't seem like a lot,
but if you read into every single one of them, which, you know, that's where my autism lies. My research in the olden days, right? Because, you know, I have ADHD. I can't read to save my life. But other than emails and text. But I'm saying, like, when you do your due little diligence and research and whatnot, you find that a lot of these people did great, extraordinary things, but no one holds a candle up to Jimmy Carter. So Jimmy Carter, rest in peace, man. Really. He wasn't afraid to die.
No.
Why do you think that was? Because he was going where?
Well, he had purpose in life. And he knew where he was going.
And he wanted to, he welcomed the afterlife. That's the thing. you welcome the afterlife.
Yeah, I mean we have family that's the same thing. Yeah, you know? I mean it's you know, when you live a life of purpose, you live a life of wisdom, you live a life, you know, that you are very proud of.
Yeah,
you.
I'm proud of you. Fearless. I'm proud of you. You're wise beyond your years, my man. Hey, you've done quite a bit of things.
It's an amalgamation,
man,
of a lot of people, you know. And I just, like, really quick, I did want to say, I am wise, you know, beyond my years. I think a lot of the youth is also becoming that way. You know, with the conversations you were telling me right. about, these technology. Conversations that they're having, the technology. I also think, though, people do definitely need
more podcasts.
Well, I don't know. We don't need more. It's oversaturated. It's just, it's too much. No, no. No, but definitely, yeah, we do need to loosen up a little bit because we got to live our lives. When you're young, you're young.
Yeah.
You know, when we're older, we're older. But it's really nice that young people are getting involved in, you know, a lot of different causes. You know, Habitats for Humanity. A lot of young people are involved in that. A lot of young people are involved in a lot of these organizations. But I think definitely the soundbite culture, you know, that we touched on a little bit. Uh-huh. There's definitely a huge problem with that because obviously the way in which we're consuming information is just not
record speed.
It's not done with a lot of due diligence. It's not done with a lot of critical thinking. No. You know, like what you were telling me about, you know, you have you tell me about ADHD and all that stuff, but you're one of the people that I've known that have read the most books, and you have a real large amount of information, you know, in your head. And not only that, but
it dances around.
But the good thing is that you have a good time with it. And also you have critical thinking skills though, you know,
I have a lot, like, you know, when you're 100 miles an hour, you're thinking of various things that pop into your head.
Yeah.
And then to make sense out of the nonsense,
a problem. Sometimes that's how you make sense out of the nonsense. You got a podcast and you throw tangents around, you know, that's the best.
I used to go on more tangents. It keeps me grounded to us and you know, like where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
you're here. I'm touching the table. Okay. All right. I'm here. More mindful. Go ahead.
If I've learned anything from you, I mean, there's a lot of things I've learned from you, but
good or bad?
Both. No. 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 But hey, you know, bad sometimes. Bad's good. No,
well,
no.
It's just, you know, bad. It's just, it's all relative, right?
It's all relative. Yeah. It's just how you see it, but. A good conversation is like a tree, you know, and that's what I've learned from you. So you got to have tangents. You got to have good conversation. Oh, we get a little deep. We sprout then, out, have a little fun.
We bring it back in.
Yeah. Become. You
know, yeah, you're right. You're right. Why
that's
not?
A beautiful conversation.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
at the end of the day, everyone does that.
That's how you make good friends. That's
because if it's too robotic, or you can give me, you guys welcome to give me pointers, especially my son. I welcome that because I'm in the business of growth. A business of evolving, ever evolving. And we need to push forward, push that envelope further out and go where no man's gone before, though. No, we want to go the extra mile all the time and challenge ourselves. It's important to challenge yourself. How important is it for you at your age to challenge yourself, James Matthew?
Look, I've been fortunate enough to have, you know, a great family. I've had, you know, you as my father, had a lot of great people, a great support system.
Yes.
And that's allowed me to do a lot of things. However, it's my job in my life to introduce micro stressors into my life and have my own standards so that I can be my own person.
Absolutely.
And be a strong person. I think that's important. One thing I love about this generation is that they know what they want. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a huge gap going on, you know, in terms of education. You know, there's a lot less men going to college. There's a lot less men getting out of their, you know, their basements playing video games. There's a lot,
because a lot of people are being gamers now. They think they can.
There's money to be made in every industry. But the key is, though, is you have to have the engine. You have to have the engine. You look at guys like Ninja, you know, that guy was a big Fortnite streamer, a millionaire. You probably know his name. Yeah, he's got the blue hair, white guy.
Yeah.
But you know his name for a reason, though.
Right.
And that reason is because of
he's a brand.
He's a brand.
Right.
That's no matter what industry
we're all a brand.
Yeah. Look, I'm here for, you know, I'm here for a reason with the watch and everything. It's the brand. It's the brand. And yeah. So
you're a business major, clearly.
Of course, no. Whatever industry, there's always business to be made. But again, it's the engine and the person. So it's like, if you're just playing games just to play games, have fun. But I think we do need to, and I have trouble with this too, because in life, you know, you don't do this, mm-hmm. you're gonna replace it with something else. You know, you don't do something. You're gonna play. We always need things that we get addicted to.
Right.
And you know, games. It's
I'm like a short circuit. I got like a lint in my eye and it looked like a tweaker. I'm like, wait a minute, it's the short circuit.
What's going on with my desk? No. But that happens at the worst times. But
yeah,
go ahead. You know, everything's a brand. Everything could be a business. But again, it depends on the engine of the person and the micro stressors that they introduce into their own life. Which is like, okay, oh, I have to stream today. Oh, I have to get into character today. Because these guys, a lot of them are getting into character. If you think about it, these streamers, these gamers. But it's for a reason. Everything is done with a purpose, and it's for a brand.
Right. Because you're getting paid, right?
Yeah. But look,
how do you optimize something like that? How do you think they make? How do they make a lot of money these days?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of Twitch. Okay. Again, here's the deal. If you want to make it into the top 1% of any industry, you have to have the engine, and you have to introduce the micro stressors that I'm talking about, which is doing the things you don't want to do, like you like to do them.
Wow.
It's like Mike Tyson when he was talking about the biggest thing for him in training is he learned to do the things he didn't like to do as though he loved them.
That's fast.
That's the key. No, I'm saying
that. Hey, look where he had the knock. No. But we're talking about.
We're talking about Prime. You know what I'm saying? Prime, Mike. You know, just tearing through. You know, Spinks tearing through.
Right, Michael Spinks.
Ruddick and tearing through.
Literally the ear.
Tearing through Holmes. Tearing through everybody. To have that, to make it into the top 1% in any industry, or just making it into, you know, that bracket, if anything, mm-hmm. you have to have a certain mindset of growth.
Yeah.
In anything.
It's a way of life, right?
I was watching a video of a guy that owns a gaming store.
What?
That's one way to do it. You buy yourself a storefront, mm-hmm. you resell old video games, and you try to mark it up, but don't mark it up too high to where your consumers are like, oh, like this is
what the hell, you know. Yeah. Nothing outrageous. Yeah,
no, nothing outrageous, but still where you want to make a profit margin, right? Okay,
right.
But this what this guy's doing, it's smart. It's like he's creating you have to create a space and you have to be very detail oriented. So it's like you have to be nice to your consumers.
He has a brick and mortar place, like an actual place where they're selling stuff.
But that's only one of many ways. Like, you know, you have streamers where they just stream games. You have streamers that just stream their life, what they're doing, like, you know, like what the vloggers used to do. But now it's like live streaming just hours of your life.
So it's vlogs now. Vlogs.
It's not anything different than, like, you know, the golden age of Hollywood. People in the normal working class, in the normal life, they wanted to live vicariously through these celebrities.
Right.
And in life, it never changes. It's just that now we have more avenues in which people can display their lifestyle.
More boxes of celebrities too, right? Yeah. Like you have the gamer celebrities. There's no longer...
Whether it's real or whether it's not, people do want to live vicariously through these guys. You know, the Logan Pauls of the world, the Jake Pauls of the world, there's a lot of new guys, Elon Musk, Kai Cenat, these newer guys. These are people that have created a brand, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You create a brand and there's just new channels, there's new avenues. It's like El Chavo del Ocho was very revolutionary because it was that sitcom, but it's a comedy.
Because it was live, wasn't it? Taped live, Channel 8.
Yeah, it was taped live, and then also, you know, the comedy within it, and also it spoke to millions. What these streamers and what these other people are doing is not very different in the sense that it's a lot of comedy, mm-hmm. it's a lot of things, but they're trying to speak to large audiences. You know, you got Mr. Beast that, you know, he creates new translations of the same shows.
And with the internet, you get to hit every corner of the earth.
You hit every corner of the earth
versus the TV that only those that. Yeah. Own a TV versus, you know what I mean? Like now it's a tip of your fingernails, literally.
No, they get you like as soon as you wake up.
Yeah.
You already are bombarded with like.
So it's important not to wake up and look at your phone right immediately, right?
Yeah. But that's the toughest thing to do. We all do it. You know, like everybody does it. I think
speak
it's important.
Speak for yourself. Bite your tongue. I don't. No. I ADHD. So I'm always on the phone. But you know, you're right.
You want to try to, I would say the best thing to do is try to utilize everything as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Nobody's perfect. Like, you know, not everybody
perfect. Perfectly imperfect.
Not everybody could just, you know, be the top 1% of gamers and all that stuff. Like sometimes it's like a movie. Like not everybody's gonna be a movie director or a movie producer, all that stuff. Some people, it's like they just want to play a game, little distraction, mm-hmm. little something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they don't want to get too involved with the industry. And all they got to do really is just, you know, you got to decide for yourself. You got to decipher whether you have the engine in whatever industry it is. Again, like I told you about, everybody has a prophecy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have to decipher whether something's meant for you.
Right.
And what your real talent is. And
everything else will follow, like money will follow, right? If you really love what you do.
Well, you have to, it's the talent. It's really the talent.
And
the
love for
it. You have to love, mm-hmm. be talented, and have the engine for it and say like, okay, I'm going to keep going at it.
Do you think there's really a thing called the it factor? Like some people have it?
Everybody has
the it factor.
In my opinion, I think everybody has like I was telling you, everybody has a prophecy. Everybody has something that they're meant to do.
Everybody has a gift that's been bestowed upon them, but you have to. The trick is to figure it out. To find
it out. Yeah. But I'm saying the X factor really comes to people when all these different things meet. Right. It's not necessarily like, oh, this person has the X factor over somebody. It's like, okay, like you talk about Ryan Garcia. It's the talent meets the work ethic. Even though people say it didn't take, you know, oh, he's not working hard enough. No, he's working hard.
Yeah.
It's just that some people maybe are working a little bit more, you know, having more due diligence or more detail in certain spots that he's missing. But no, he's working hard. He's working harder than 99% of the human beings on this planet Earth. What I'm trying to say is that when the work ethic, the talent comes together and you're meant to do that, it becomes the X factor. It's the whole package.
Wow. That's brilliant. You see, this guy right here, man, he's got the recipe for success. You're very successful. You know what? Just the ideas that you have alone, it's and the work ethic that you carry, which is, I mean, I'm blown away because I'm honest to God. I mean, I do put a lot of work into everything I've ever done, as you know, because I'm a perfectionist, even though I'm a rocker perfectionist and kind of all over the place. Yeah. And just, you know, everybody says, oh, you're a stoner, you know, all my life.
It's the beauty of chaos. It has to be the beauty of chaos.
Exactly. I embrace that chaos too.
Yeah.
I welcome it. No, but. You know, through it all, you know, at the, you know, like if you talk about bare bones, like, you know, at the core of who I am as a person, I love to learn something new. And I think I've learned something new today that I didn't know before from you. Uh-huh. I'm pretty like honest to God. Yeah. It's just a great time that we have. And then we're here. We have 3 more minutes, believe it or not. I want to spend
time flies by when you're having a good time.
When you're having fun,
me and my dad, we have we could have a podcast probably last what 5 hours.
Five hours easily with all the material we have.
Oh my god!
Yeah, hands down, without a doubt, it's one of my best favorite podcasts that I've had to date. I don't think they'll ever be surpassed by anyone. I want to just take this time real quick,
okay?
So that way I can have you do the closing thoughts, but. I wanted to thank every one of you that's been on my podcast from the get-go, from the very beginning. There's too many to mention, but I do want to say every last one of you guys has made this impactful, has made my life that much better. You're a blessing truly to our hearts, to our lives, to my family. Everyone, I do appreciate from the bottom of my heart, everyone who's formed anything, has had anything to do with this podcast, this one part in particular. You know, in particular, Almost Famous. I then also wanted to say, it's a good segue. I want to do an Almost Famous, contest of sorts, you know, maybe. I'm going to polish the ideas. I just want to throw it out there, but I want to polish it more. The Almost Famous, I got to figure out the guidelines and see what we're going to earn. I mean, I'm sure we're going to earn, we're talking about money here. But most importantly, I'll be able to showcase some of the talent, you know, musically speaking. In January, I'm going to have a couple of talented artists that can sing really well, like, you know, the Nickies, Lickies, Jennifer Messinas, the Messina Mafia. All these great people are going to help me, no doubt. I'm having some good artists coming on and good punk rockers. But I'm going to let my son sort of finish this off. I just want to say, James, you have the floor. What do you want to say? Got a minute. What do you have lined up for the new year?
I got a lot of things lined up. I'm going to go harder at, you know, the niche that I have. Obviously, I know I work in finance, you know, financial services and all that. So I'm going to be working hard at that as well. But I really just want to say that I'm going to be working hard to really fill in those niches, and just want to speak to the people and just say, work the hardest you can. And not only that, but enjoy the moments in life. Enjoy the experiences. Chase after experiences.
Enjoy your family.
Enjoy your family. Find the X factor in your life. Everybody has it. And yeah, that's what the combat sports guy has to say at the underscore combat.
Where can they find you? You got 5 seconds.
Instagram, TikTok. Find me everywhere.
I'm on Happy New Year. Happy New Cheers, Year. Guys. James Matthew. That's my show.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.